When I'm talking about something, be also asking yourself, what also might he be talking about? Okay? To help you, I'm going to tell you what those four topics are, just to give you an indication as to what I might be talking about. So the first topic is this. It's coming to the end of our long look at Luke's gospel. And so I want to start encouraging us as a congregation to be asking the question, what has God been saying to us at St. Peter's through Luke's gospel? So Luke's gospel is one topic. Second topic is I want to talk about today's reading, but particularly about how it fits in with the last few weeks and the topic of inclusion and exclusion. So that's the second topic, inclusion and exclusion. The third topic that I want to talk about is Remembrance Sunday, because today is Remembrance Sunday and it would be amiss of me not to reflect on it. So that's the third topic. The fourth topic is Holy Communion, not just because it's a communion service today, and not only because next week we've got Feast, where we'll be talking about communion. I want to encourage as many of you to come along to that discussion about communion, and so maybe starting reflections now might whet your appetite. But I also think that communion wraps up those three other topics in a nice little package. So that's four topics fitting into the time for two. Let's get going. Luke's Gospel. We have been looking at Luke's Gospel since the beginning of the year. And right from the first sermon, it has been dividing us. That first sermon, we were forced and caused to reflect on politics. And suddenly we were divided. We had quite a public, for most, for some of us, quite a public discussion about whether it's right for us to preach politics from the pulpit and whether or not those politics were right or wrong. And it separated us into four camps generally, but we were divided and conflicted and fragmented. And then each week afterwards, it seemed that Luke's gospel was causing us to reflect on politics and social constructs and whether how we get along. And all of a sudden, we realized that we didn't agree with one another, and it was quite painful. It was quite painful, and many people felt excluded from each other. And then we got on to talking about personal healing. Jesus seemed to be meeting with people and bringing out their illnesses. We reflected on our own illnesses at a time when quite a broken human being came into our church and disrupted worship. And suddenly how we responded to that person divided us. We were conflicted, fragmented, and dismembered. 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 And then we continued to be reflecting on all these issues where we were suddenly realizing that there was conflict, division amongst us. And some people started to say, oh, Luke's gospel seems to be causing all these divisions. Or even worse, people started to say, Ned, your ministry is divisive. You are dividing us. We were perfectly fine before you came along. Can you believe it? And what I said earlier on in the year was that I don't think that that perception was quite right. Now, I take responsibility for any division that I have caused, but actually I feel like Luke's gospel and me as a preacher was just trying to bring that conflict, division, to the surface. Because I think that's what Luke's gospel was meant to be doing. Because in Luke's gospel, its main focus is Jesus as Savior. It's Jesus, the bringer of salvation. Jesus, the one who brings healing and wholeness. But throughout Luke's gospel, he's saying, I cannot heal and I cannot bring wholeness unless you admit that you are sick and that you are broken. And that's not just personally, but socially, corporately, and globally. We are conflicted, divided, fragmented, and dismembered. Dismembered, dismembered. And to prove my point, on Vision Sunday, the first Sunday of the year, I said that I was going to get rid of a particular emblem or logo of this church, which, if you remember, was a series of circles that built up a shape of a church. And I said it was very pretty, but it was unhelpful because actually, although it presented a church, there were still lots of little circles. And so I got rid of the little circles and made one circle and said it wasn't clean cut, it was a bit messy around the edges, but that was the thing that was going to identify us, not lots of little circles making up a sort of, well, we're sort of almost in the shape of a church. Or maybe another point. Many of you have spoken to me about one particular thing. I'm going to mention one word, and immediately many of you will go, yes, I've had that conversation with Ned. Cliques. How many conversations have I had about cliques at this church? People coming to me and talking to me about cliques that were, cliques that still are. And what's interesting about it is I still don't know who's in which clique. Because the thing that each of those conversations shared was that each one of them felt that they were excluded from a clique. Those people over there are in a clique, but I'm not included. I feel excluded from it. Then I go and talk to those people, and they go, I don't think I'm part of a clique. No, these other people are part of a clique, and actually I feel quite excluded from that clique. And so it goes on. And we, as human beings, when we feel excluded, which is a painful experience, when we feel excluded, how many of us start to gather with other excluded people and say, well, we together are the excluded ones? And the irony of gathering together with other excluded people is immediately you're excluding those horrible people who excluded us. They are not welcome here because we are the excluded ones. And you make a little group in which you are included. Inclusion and exclusion, we are divided, conflicted, fragmented, and dismembered. 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 Today's passage begins to talk about this inclusion and exclusion. It continues on the week after week we've had where Jesus is talking about inclusion and exclusion. This very fact that Jesus is saying that some people will be excluded from the kingdom of God. Some people will find themselves standing outside the door wanting to come in and God saying to them, I'm sorry, you're not on the list. Today's passage, he invites people and then at the end of the passage, those who were invited will not taste my dinner. They're not going to be included. And immediately, I'm feeling unsettled. I don't know how many of you felt unsettled over the last few weeks. And I'll tell you why. I have this sense that I should be inclusive. Everyone should be included. That's a good and proper thing to feel. But yet God is saying through Jesus that some will be excluded. And so I start to ask a very reasonable question. Who's that? Who's included and who's... If some people are in and some people are out, who will be the people who are standing outside the door knocking and wanting to get in? And who are the people who will get in? And I suddenly go, I can't judge on other people. I can't discern whether or not that's between them and God. God is the judge and that's right and proper. So let's look at me. I say to myself, I think I'm included. You know, God has invited all people. I think I have faithfully and humbly responded to that call. And I feel like I'm included. I feel safe and secure in my inclusion in the kingdom of God. And then wait, hold on a sec. That's exactly how Jesus presents the Pharisees and the scribes and the hypocrites. They were secure in their inclusion. And that very fact that they were included, many looked at them and went, oh, I'm looking at how they're living their lives, and actually I don't match up with that, so maybe I'm not included, maybe I'm excluded. And many of the Pharisees and the scribes kind of ascribed, going, you know, this is how I've got into the kingdom of God. I have followed these rules. This is how I feel secure in my inclusion. And Jesus is there going, no, it's not that at all. You're actually going to be quite surprised in the kingdom of God. So I'm saying to myself, maybe I'm a hypocrite. Maybe I'm a Pharisee and a scribe. I've got to watch myself. Maybe I'm excluded. And suddenly I feel excluded from the kingdom of God. And I go, right, how do I get in? And then I go, wait a sec. It's not about works. It's about faith. So I then put, and I am conflicted, divided, fragmented, and dismembered. 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 And I'm suddenly aware that the inclusion and the exclusion presented in Luke's gospel may be more about how I am responding to other people and to God than about the other people and God. It is me that seems to be deciding whether or not I'm included or excluded. And when I'm feeling excluded and the pain of it, it's easier to blame other people for making me feel that way than watching myself. The reality is, and what I think Luke's gospel has been raising up for us, is that the brokenness of the world is our responsibility. It's a mirror and reflection of our own conflict, division, that we are fragmented and dismembered. Personally, inside us. And what Jesus is saying in today's passage is that when you go to a party, don't put yourself at the highest honor, but put yourself at the lowest seat. Come humbly before your God and ask him in humility. That is what he's asking of us. To come and say, I'm broken and I totally understand if you can't allow me in. Because I'm broken and sinful, I have sin in me that's dividing me and conflicting in me. But Lord, if you have mercy upon me, please let me in. And he will respond with love and tenderness. The crowds came out to meet your son, Heavenly Father, but in the end, they turned on him. The crowd came out to meet Jesus, to include him in their lives, or to feel included in his movement. But in the end, they turned on him. They excluded him, and they felt exclusion from him. The fickleness of humanity, we are all divided, conflicted, fragmented, dismembered. Lord Jesus, you wept over the sin of your city. So on our city, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus, you heal the wounds of sin and division, jealousy and bitterness. On us, Christ, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord Jesus, you bring pardon and peace to the sinner. Grant us peace. Lord, have mercy on us. On the night that he was betrayed and excluded, he came to table with his friends and included them to celebrate the freedom of his people. This is his story. This is our song, Hosanna in the highest. Remembrance Sunday is a very complicated day for the church and for many Christians. I think partly because this service, more so than many others in the church's calendar, was established and set up primarily from the civic and the secular part of our world, to which the church quite rightly adopted it. And so the meaning behind it may not be primarily theological, and we are being asked to put theology or put God into the event. As I say, I think it's quite right that the church does that. The reason that Remembrance Day, Remembrance Sunday, was established was to give an opportunity to the hundreds and thousands in this country, across the Commonwealth, and across the nations, to give them an opportunity to grieve, to come in the confusion in the aftermath of war and conflict with the loss of loved ones, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, friends. To just have a moment to remember them and to be held. That was it. And that is why silence was the appropriate way of doing that. Just to stand in the confusion of the aftermath of war with all the pain and the grief and the suffering. Just to stand and reflect and be held. And so the church was the right people to host that event. because we do that every week. We come together, confused and battered in pain and suffering of the world and our lives and our own self, in all our dismemberment, and we come to remember, remember, remember. We come to stand in the confusion of a violent act against an innocent person and remember, remember, remember. Because there has been a sacrifice far greater than anything else. I'm not to disvalue the sacrifice of men and women in the armed forces. I don't want to disvalue it. I think it's a high honor, but it is nothing to compare with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the pure and innocent Lamb, whose sacrifice started the remembering of our lives and our society. And we do come in our current culture, in the last decade or so, with many of us feeling slightly uncomfortable and unsettled by Remembrance Sunday. Because we feel that on whichever side of the political sphere we stand, that it's been hijacked by the other political side. Whether you stand alongside a military action and you believe that that's the right course of action in certain circumstances, you might feel hijacked from these pacifists who don't really connect with the real world and who are dishonoring those men and women who have given their lives in the service of our country and the defense of our country. That they want to sort of in some way exclude them and include more and more people and sort of dishonor the soldiers. Or maybe you feel you stand on the other side where you feel like Remembrance Sunday has been hijacked to glorify war, that suddenly soldiers are not only people that we remember with grief and loss, but we want to raise up to almost saintly status for the pure fact that they fought in a war. Whatever way you feel maybe that you're being excluded from today. That's not true. God comes and holds us in our conflict and division and our dismemberment to remember us. To remember us. Remember us. Because that is what we do in church each week. And we're invited to take the bread and to take our lives, to take our family and friends' life, to take it and hold it, to give thanks to God, even in all the mess and confusion. We allow God to break, to bring our brokenness into the open, to admit that brokenness, and then to give and to share the fragments and confusion and the division, to share it. And we do this to remember Christ, whose body was taken, was broken, and was shared for you and for me. We come with all our divisions, all our confusion and all our disagreements. We come and stand together and say we want to remember Christ, and we become one body of Christ. Remember, remember. So Jesus blessed you, Father, for the food. He took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and said, "This is my body, given for you all. Jesus then gave thanks for the wine. He took the cup, gave it, and said, "This is my blood, shed for you all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." This is our story. This is our song. Hosanna in the highest. Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate the cross on which Jesus died to set us free. Defying death, he rose again and is alive with you to plead for us and all the world. This is our story. This is our song. Hosanna in the highest.